City of Shadows. Chapter 1. Arrival in Silver Heights. A New World. The desert sun bore down relentlessly as Vince Marino stepped out of the plane and into the sweltering heat of Silver Heights, a city where dreams of fortune danced hand in hand with danger. The year was 1978, and Vince was here on the orders of the Carlo family to oversee the Emerald Spire, a casino as famous for its grandeur as for the silent deals made in its shadowy back rooms. At 32, Vince had already proven himself as a formidable strategist, someone who could see opportunities where others saw chaos. His successes had caught the attention of Don Pietro Carlo, the patriarch of the Carlo family. When their Silver Heights operations began bleeding money, Vince was the obvious choice to set things right. But this was no ordinary assignment. The stakes were high, and one misstep could mean ruin, or worse. "Welcome to Silver Heights," said Leonard Leo Blake, the casino's affable yet weary frontman. Leo was waiting for Vince at the airport, his white suit a stark contrast to the dull beige of the terminal. His handshake was firm, but his eyes darted nervously, betraying a man who had learned to tread carefully in a city full of predators. "Thanks, Leo," Vince replied, his voice calm but firm. "I hope the casino's ready for a shake-up." Leo gave a thin smile. "It's been waiting for you. Let's get you settled." The Emerald Spire. The limousine ride to the Emerald Spire was Vince's first real glimpse of the city. Neon signs buzzed even in daylight, advertising casinos, shows, and promises of indulgence. The streets bustled with tourists eager to part with their money, while locals moved with a quiet urgency, eyes scanning for opportunities or threats. The Emerald Spire itself was a towering monolith of gold-tinted glass and marble. Its sprawling lobby was a symphony of clinking chips, spinning roulette wheels, and the hum of slot machines. But Vince's eyes were drawn to the security cameras discreetly mounted on every wall, the watchful eyes of a kingdom built on trust and fear. Leo led Vince through the casino floor, past rows of gamblers glued to their games, their faces illuminated by the glow of machines. "The spire's got potential," Leo said, his voice low as they entered a private elevator. "But potential doesn't pay the bills." Vince smirked. "That's why I'm here. The meeting." In a sleek office on the top floor, Vince met the key players who would define his time at the Emerald Spire. There was Arthur Artie Vance, the head of security, a burly man with a no-nonsense demeanor who had worked with the Carlo family for years. Next to him stood Maria Alvarez, the casino's financial controller, a sharp-eyed woman whose precision with numbers was matched only by her discretion. "We've been skimming," Maria said bluntly after the introductions. "But it's messy. Inconsistent. The bosses want clean numbers and bigger payouts. And less attention," Artie added. "The Moretti family's been sniffing around, and the feds are always watching. We can't afford any mistakes." Vince nodded, absorbing their words. "No mistakes," he repeated. "First, we're tightening security. No more leaks, no loose ends. And, Maria, I want a full audit of the books by the end of the week. We're going to find every penny this place is losing and fix it." A rising star. Within weeks, Vince's presence at the Emerald Spire was felt. He implemented strict protocols for the count room, ensuring that every dollar skimmed off the top was accounted for. He replaced incompetent staff with hand-picked individuals loyal to the Carlo family. The casino's profits soared, and the skim operation ran smoother than ever. But success came with its own set of challenges. The Moretti family, rivals to the Carlos, began making moves to encroach on Silver Heights. Meanwhile, whispers of an FBI investigation grew louder. Vince knew he was walking a tightrope, balancing the demands of the Carlo family with the realities of running a high-profile operation in a city teeming with danger. Enter Luca Rossetti. The first cracks in Vince's carefully constructed world appeared when Luca Rossetti arrived. Sent by Don Carlo himself, Luca was a force of nature, a man whose charm masked a violent streak that could erupt without warning. His job was to protect Vince and the casino, but his methods were anything but subtle. "Vince," Luca exclaimed as he burst into the office, his broad smile revealing a row of perfect teeth. "Heard a lot about you. Guess we're going to be working together, huh?" Vince shook his hand, his expression guarded. "That's the plan." Luca leaned in closer. "Don't worry, buddy. You keep the money rolling, and I'll take care of the dirty work." That was what worried Vince the most. Sophia Leclerc. As Vince navigated the challenges of managing the Emerald Spire, a chance encounter would change everything. Sophia Leclerc was the star of the casino's nightly review, her elegance and confidence captivating audiences and men alike. She had a presence that demanded attention, and Vince was no exception. Their first meeting was brief, a polite introduction backstage after one of her performances. But it left an impression. Sophia was more than just a showgirl. She was intelligent, ambitious, and, as Vince would later discover, harboring secrets that could either destroy him or make him stronger than ever. Foreshadowing trouble. As the chapter drew to a close, the cracks in Vince's world became more apparent. Luca's methods were drawing unwanted attention. Sophia's charm was pulling Vince into a dangerous game, and the rival Moretti family was circling like vultures. Silver Heights was a city of shadows, and Vince Marino was about to learn that even the brightest lights couldn't keep them at bay. Chapter 2, A New Order. The Calm Before the Storm. Vince Marino was settling into the rhythm of Silver Heights, or so he thought. Within a month, the Emerald Spire's profits were soaring. Vince's relentless focus on efficiency and loyalty had turned the once sloppy operation into a well-oiled machine. But every success in Silver Heights came with a shadow, and Vince knew the storm was brewing. Luca Rossetti, the enforcer sent by Don Pietro Carlo, wasted no time flexing his authority. He had charm, yes, but it was a smokescreen for his violent tendencies and penchant for chaos. Luca's arrival meant more than just protection for the operation. It meant another layer of risk for Vince's already precarious position. "Vince, my man," Luca roared, slapping him on the back during one of their meetings in the High Roller Lounge. "You're a genius. This place is printing money. The boss is back home? They're impressed." Vince nodded, but kept his expression neutral. "Glad to hear it. Let's keep things quiet, though. The last thing we need is more attention." Luca smirked. "Relax. I've got this under control." But Vince wasn't convinced. Luca's crew. Luca didn't come to Silver Heights alone. Within days of his arrival, he began assembling his own crew. These weren't polished professionals. They were a mix of childhood friends and seasoned criminals, all with their own specialties in shakedowns, robberies, and strong-arm tactics. There was Dominic "Dom" Rossetti, Luca's younger brother, who was just as brutal but lacked his elder sibling's charisma. Then there was Frankie D'Amico, an explosives expert with a penchant for jewelry heists. Together, they brought a new layer of unpredictability to the Emerald Spire's operations. "Your brother and his boys are making waves," Artie Vance, the head of security, warned Vince one evening. "Word is they hit a jewelry store downtown last week. Cops are sniffing around." Vince sighed, rubbing his temples. "They're supposed to protect this place, not draw heat to it." "Tell that to Luca," Artie replied. Sophia's warning. Sophia Leclerc's relationship with Vince had deepened, though it remained under the radar. They shared quiet moments in his penthouse suite overlooking the city, where Vince could let his guard down, even if only briefly. "I've been hearing things," Sophia said one night, her voice soft but urgent. Vince looked up from the glass of scotch in his hand. "What kind of things?" "About Luca and his crew. They're not subtle, Vince. People are starting to notice. And in this city, the wrong kind of attention can get you killed." Vince nodded, appreciating her concern, but unsure how much he could share. "I'll handle it." "Just be careful," Sophia whispered, placing a hand on his. "The Moretti problem. The Moretti family, longtime rivals of the Carlo family, were making moves in Silver Heights. Rumors swirled that they were looking to muscle in on the Emerald Spire's operations. Vince knew that if the Morettis gained a foothold, it wouldn't just jeopardize the casino. It could ignite a full-scale war. Moretti's boys have been seen near the Spire, Artie reported during a security briefing. They're watching us. They're testing us, Vince replied. Send a message. Make it clear this is Carlo territory. Luca grinned from across the room. Finally, some action. Let me handle it. Vince hesitated. He didn't trust Luca's methods, but knew the enforcer had a knack for delivering results. No unnecessary noise, Vince warned. We don't need a bloodbath. But Luca's idea of subtlety was different from Vince's. That night, two Moretti associates were found beaten and tied to a lamppost outside the Emerald Spire. The rift widens. Luca's antics were becoming harder to contain. Vince confronted him in the casino's VIP lounge, away from prying eyes. What the hell was that? Vince demanded. I told you to keep it quiet. Luca leaned back in his chair, unbothered. Quiet doesn't send a message, Vince. Those Moretti punks won't be back anytime soon. And if they retaliate? If the cops start sniffing around because of your stunts? Luca's grin faded. Listen, pal. I was sent here to protect this operation. You want to play it safe, fine. But don't forget who's really calling the shots. The tension between them was palpable, but Vince held his ground. We're on the same team, Luca. Let's act like it. For now, it was an uneasy truce. The first crack. The FBI had been watching the Emerald Spire for months, and Luca's activities only gave them more reasons to dig deeper. Agents began leaning on smaller players in the operation, hoping to flip someone who could lead them to the top. One of those players was Tommy Greco, a low-level associate with a gambling problem. He was caught skimming from the casino's count room, a mistake that could cost the entire operation. We've got a problem, Maria Alvarez told Vince, her face pale. Tommy's in custody. If he talks... Vince didn't let her finish. He won't talk. Luca, however, had a different solution. Let me handle Tommy, he said with a menacing grin. Absolutely not, Vince snapped. We're not killing one of our own unless we have no other choice. But Vince's mercy came at a cost. That night, Tommy disappeared, and Vince knew exactly who was responsible. Sophia's growing influence. Amid the chaos, Vince found himself increasingly drawn to Sophia. She had a way of cutting through the noise, offering clarity in a world of shadows. But Sophia was no fool. She knew Vince's world was dangerous, and she wanted more than just stolen moments in the penthouse. You trust me, don't you? She asked one evening. Vince hesitated. Of course. Then let me help you. I know people, people who can make problems disappear without leaving a trace. Vince frowned. What kind of people? Let me worry about that, Sophia said with a sly smile. Just think about it. The chapter's climax. As tensions mounted, Vince received a call in the middle of the night. It was Artie, and his voice was grim. We've got trouble, Artie said. The Morettis hit one of our supply trucks. Two of our guys are dead. Vince felt a chill run down his spine. The uneasy peace he had tried so hard to maintain was crumbling. Where's Luca? Vince asked. Out looking for payback, Artie replied. Vince slammed the phone down, knowing that Luca's recklessness could spark an all-out war. As he stared out over the glittering city, Vince realized that his grip on the Emerald Spire and his own fate was slipping. Chapter 3. The Queen of Spades. The dominoes begin to fall. Vince Marino stood at the window of his penthouse, staring out at the sprawling city of Silver Heights. The glow of the neon lights no longer brought him comfort. Instead, they felt like a taunting reminder of the chaos swirling around him. The Morettis had drawn blood, Luca was a loose cannon, and the FBI was closing in. Every move Vince made felt like one step closer to the edge of a cliff. But amidst the chaos, there was Sophia LeClaire. She was his escape, his solace. Yet even as she smiled at him across the room, sipping a glass of red wine, Vince couldn't shake the nagging feeling that she was hiding something. "Long day?" Sophia asked, breaking the silence. "You could say that," Vince replied, forcing a smile. She crossed the room, placing a hand on his shoulder. "You can tell me, you know. Whatever it is, I'm here." Vince wanted to believe her, but trust was a luxury he couldn't afford. Not in Silver Heights. Sophia's Secrets. Sophia LeClaire wasn't just a showgirl. She was a survivor. She had clawed her way up from nothing, using her beauty, charm, and intelligence to navigate a world that chewed people up and spat them out. But survival came at a cost, and Sophia had learned to play her own games to stay ahead. Her ex-boyfriend, Elliot Gray, had been a part of her rise. Together, they had run cons up and down the West Coast, until Sophia decided she wanted more. Leaving Elliot behind had been her first step toward freedom, but now he was back, and he wanted something from her. "You're living the high life, aren't you?" Elliot had sneered during their last encounter, his voice dripping with resentment. "Must be nice, shacking up with a guy like Marino." Sophia had brushed him off, but Elliot wasn't so easily dismissed. "You owe me, Sophia. Don't forget that. And I'll get what I'm owed, one way or another." Sophia knew Elliot was dangerous, but she also knew how to handle him. Or so she thought. The deal goes south. While Vince worked to keep the Emerald Spire afloat, Luca was out for revenge. The Moretus ambush on the supply truck had been a direct challenge, and Luca wasn't the type to let such an insult go unanswered. "You think you can just walk into our city and take what's ours?" Luca growled, gripping the collar of a Moretti associate. The man's face was bloodied, his eyes wide with terror. "I swear it wasn't my idea. They just told me to." Luca didn't let him finish. A single, brutal punch ended the conversation. By the time Vince learned of Luca's actions, it was too late. The Moretus retaliated swiftly, torching one of the Emerald Spire's storage facilities and leaving a clear message. War was coming. A night to remember. Amid the escalating tensions, Vince and Sophia attended a charity gala hosted by one of Silver Heights' wealthiest socialites. The event was an opportunity to rub elbows with influential figures, but for Vince, it was also a chance to distract himself from the mounting pressure. Sophia was a vision in a sleek black gown, her presence commanding attention as they entered the ballroom. Vince couldn't help but feel a swell of pride and a twinge of possessiveness as heads turned to admire her. "You clean up nicely," Sophia teased, linking her arm with his. "You don't look so bad yourself," Vince replied with a rare smile. The evening was going smoothly until Vince spotted Elliot Gray across the room. His blood ran cold as he watched the man approach Sophia, his smirk as smug as ever. "Well, if it isn't the Queen of Spades herself," Elliot said, his tone dripping with mockery. Sophia's smile faltered, but she quickly recovered. "Elliot, what are you doing here?" "I could ask you the same thing," Elliot replied, his eyes flicking to Vince. "Guess you've traded up." Vince stepped forward, his voice low and menacing. "Is there a problem here?" Elliot held up his hands in mock surrender. "No problem. Just catching up with an old friend." As Elliot walked away, Vince turned to Sophia, his gaze sharp. "Who is he?" "Just someone from my past," Sophia said quickly. "He's nothing to worry about." But Vince wasn't convinced. Unraveling the threads. Over the next few days, Vince began digging into Elliot's background. What he discovered only deepened his unease. Elliot Gray was a known con artist with ties to several high-profile scams. More troubling, Vince learned that Elliot had recently been spotted meeting with an FBI agent. "You think he's working with the feds?" Artie asked when Vince shared his findings. "It's possible," Vince replied. "Either way, I don't trust him. And I don't like that he's sniffing around Sophia." Artie nodded. "Want me to handle it?" "No," Vince said. "Not yet. Let's see what he does next. A dangerous alliance." Meanwhile, Elliot wasn't wasting any time. He approached Sophia again, this time with an offer. "You got a good thing going here," Elliot said, leaning casually against the bar where she was seated. But let's be honest, Sophia. You and I both know it won't last. Guys like Marino? They burn out fast. Sophia glared at him. What do you want, Elliot? I want what I'm owed, Elliot replied. Help me get it, and I'll make sure you walk away clean when this whole thing comes crashing down. Sophia hesitated. She hated Elliot, but he wasn't wrong. Vince's world was a house of cards, and it was only a matter of time before it collapsed. I'll think about it, she said finally. The chapter's climax. The tipping point came during a routine inspection of the casino's count room. Vince had tightened security, ensuring that every dollar skimmed from the profits was accounted for. But on this particular day, something was off. There's a discrepancy, Maria Alvarez reported, her voice tense. How much? Vince asked, his stomach sinking. 20 grand, Maria said. Vince's mind raced. The skim operation was the lifeblood of the Emerald Spire, and any missing money would draw unwanted attention from both the bosses and the feds. Find out who's responsible, Vince ordered. As Maria left, Vince sat back in his chair, the weight of the situation pressing down on him. He knew the missing money was no coincidence. Someone was playing a dangerous game, and Vince was determined to find out who. Foreshadowing betrayal. That night, Vince confronted Sophia about Elliot. Tell me the truth, he said, his voice low but firm. What's going on between you and him? Sophia hesitated, her eyes searching his. He's just trying to stir up trouble. He doesn't matter. But Vince wasn't sure if he believed her. As he watched her walk away, he couldn't shake the feeling that the walls were closing in. Silver Heights was a city of shadows, and Vince Marino was beginning to realize that even the people closest to him couldn't be trusted. Chapter 4. Beneath the Surface. The missing 20 grand. The next morning, Vince Marino paced his office, his mind consumed by the missing money. He'd built his reputation on precision and control, and any deviation from that was a direct threat to his operation and his life. 20 grand doesn't just disappear, Vince said, staring at the count room reports spread across his desk. Maria Alvarez sat opposite him, her sharp eyes scanning the same documents. It had to be an inside job, Maria said. The system you put in place is airtight. Nobody from the outside could have pulled this off. Vince nodded, his jaw tightening. Then we start with the usual suspects. I want everyone in that count room interrogated. Quietly, Maria hesitated. If this gets back to the staff, it could create panic. Or worse, someone might run. Vince leaned forward, his voice cold. Then make sure it doesn't get back to them. Luca's recklessness. While Vince was consumed with tracking the missing money, Luca Rossetti was busy escalating tensions with the Moretti family. His latest stunt, a brazen robbery at a Moretti-controlled nightclub, had left 3 men dead and the city buzzing with speculation. You're out of your damn mind, Vince snapped when he confronted Luca in a private corner of the casino. They started it, Luca replied, shrugging as if 3 dead men were a minor inconvenience. I'm just finishing the job. You're drawing too much heat, Vince said, his voice rising. The Morettis, the cops, the feds, they're all watching us now. If this keeps up, we'll all go down. Luca smirked, leaning in close. You worry too much, Vince. Let me handle the dirty work, and you keep playing the numbers game. But Vince knew Luca's brand of dirty work was a ticking time bomb. Sophia's dilemma. Across town, Sophia LeClaire found herself at a crossroads. Elliot Gray had made his intentions clear. He wanted a cut of the Emerald Spire's profits, and he was willing to use Sophia to get it. You think Vince is going to protect you forever? Elliot asked during their latest encounter. When the chips are down, he'll cut you loose just like everyone else. Sophia's jaw tightened. You don't know him like I do. I know enough, Elliot shot back. And I know you're smarter than this. Work with me, and we both walk away rich. Stay with him, and you'll go down with the ship. Sophia hated Elliot for putting her in this position, but his words lingered in her mind. She couldn't ignore the storm brewing around Vince, nor the fact that Elliot's plan, as dangerous as it was, might be her only way out. The FBI tightens its grip. The missing money wasn't the only problem Vince faced. The FBI had been inching closer to the Emerald Spire for months, and their latest move was a bold one, flipping Tommy Greco, a low-level associate with a gambling problem. Tommy's talking, Artie Vance reported grimly during a late-night meeting. Vince's eyes narrowed. What does he know? Enough to hurt us, Artie replied. He's been in the count room. He knows how the skim works. Vince clenched his fists. Then we shut him up? Artie hesitated. The feds are watching him. If we move now, it could blow back on us. For the first time, Vince felt the weight of his own limitations. Every move he made seemed to invite more scrutiny, more danger. And the clock was ticking. A high-stakes encounter. One evening, as Vince reviewed the casino's finances in his office, Sophia walked in unannounced. You look like hell, she said, closing the door behind her. Thanks for the observation, Vince replied without looking up. Sophia crossed the room and placed a hand on his shoulder. I'm serious, Vince. You're burning yourself out. I don't have a choice, he said, finally meeting her gaze. Every piece of this operation is falling apart. Sophia hesitated before speaking. Maybe you don't have to do it alone. Vince raised an eyebrow. What are you talking about? I know people, Sophia said carefully. People who could help. Quietly, Vince's expression darkened. And what would they want in return? Just think about it, Sophia said, her tone soft but insistent. As she left, Vince couldn't help but wonder what game Sophia was playing, and whether he could afford to trust her. The Moretti counterstrike. The Morettis weren't known for subtlety, and their retaliation came swiftly. A shipment of high-value chips destined for the Emerald Spire was hijacked en route, leaving the casino scrambling to cover the loss. This is getting out of hand, Vince said during a meeting with his inner circle. You want me to handle it? Luca asked, a dangerous glint in his eye. No, Vince said firmly. We don't need more bodies. We need leverage. What kind of leverage? Maria asked. Vince's mind raced. The Morettis were playing dirty, but he knew there were ways to fight back without escalating the violence. Let me make some calls, he said finally. If they want a war, we'll give them one, but on our terms. Foreshadowing betrayal. Late that night, Vince found himself alone in the casino, watching the ebb and flow of gamblers on the floor below. The neon lights painted the room in shades of red and gold, but Vince's thoughts were dark. Sophia's words echoed in his mind. Was she really trying to help, or was she working her own angle? And what about Elliot? The man was clearly a threat, but Vince couldn't decide whether to confront him or wait for him to make a mistake. As Vince stood there, he noticed Artie approaching from across the room. We found something, Artie said, his voice low. What is it? Security footage, Artie replied. From the count room. You're going to want to see this. The chapter's climax. The footage was grainy, but clear enough to identify the culprit. Vince watched as one of the count room employees, a man named Ray Vasquez, pocketed a stack of cash when he thought no one was watching. Son of a bitch, Vince muttered under his breath. What do you want to do? Artie asked. Bring him to me, Vince said coldly. Within an hour, Ray was dragged into Vince's office, his face pale and his hands trembling. I didn't mean to, Ray started, but Vince cut him off. Shut up, Vince snapped. You stole from me, from the Carlo family. Do you have any idea what that means? Ray stammered, tears streaming down his face. Please, I'll pay it back. Just give me a chance. Vince stared at him for a long moment before speaking. This is your chance. You're going to tell me who else is involved. And if you lie to me, I'll make sure you never see the light of day again. As Ray began to talk, Vince felt a cold satisfaction. The missing money was just the tip of the iceberg, and Vince was determined to get to the bottom of it, no matter the cost. Chapter 5. Betrayal in the Shadows. The Canary Sings. Ray Vasquez, pale and shaking, spilled everything. His voice cracked as he recounted the scheme to skim cash from the Emerald Spire's count room. "It wasn't just me," Ray stammered. "There's a guy, Elliot Gray. He's the one who set it up. Said he'd pay me if I could. If I could get him some cash from the skim." Vince Marino leaned back in his chair, his expression unreadable. The name hit him like a gut punch. Elliot Gray wasn't just some outsider. He was connected to Sophia. The revelation left Vince with a bitter taste in his mouth. "How much did he take?" Vince asked, his voice low and cold. Ray hesitated. "I don't know. Maybe 50 grand total. He told me to keep it small so no one would notice." Artie Vance, standing silently by the door, cracked his knuckles. "Should have kept your mouth shut, Ray." Vince raised a hand, stopping Artie. "Not yet. We'll deal with him later. For now, I want to know everything about Elliot's operation. Who else is involved? Where does he keep the cash?" Ray nodded frantically. "I'll tell you everything. Just don't kill me." "Start talking," Vince said, his voice devoid of emotion. Confronting Sophia, Vince couldn't wait any longer. That evening, he called Sophia to his penthouse. She arrived looking radiant as always, but Vince's mind was clouded with suspicion. "What's wrong?" Sophia asked, sensing the tension the moment she walked in. "Tell me about Elliot," Vince said, skipping any pleasantries. Sophia froze, her eyes narrowing. "Why? What happened?" "You know exactly why," Vince snapped. "He's been stealing from the casino. And you didn't think to tell me?" Sophia's face softened, but her voice was firm. "I didn't know he was stealing, Vince. He's been trying to get back into my life, yes, but I had no idea he was involved with the casino." "Don't lie to me," Vince said, his voice rising. "If you're working with him, you're as guilty as he is." "I'm not working with him," Sophia shouted back, her eyes glistening with tears. "I didn't ask for him to come back and I didn't know what he was doing." Vince stared at her, searching for any sign of deceit. Finally, he sighed and turned away. "If you're lying to me," he began, but Sophia cut him off. "I'm not lying," she said, her voice trembling. "And if you think I am, then maybe you don't know me as well as you think you do." Luca's plan for retaliation. While Vince dealt with the fallout from Ray's confession, Luca Rossetti was busy plotting his next move against the Moretti family. "They think they can hit us and walk away," Luca growled, pacing in Artie's office. "I say we hit them back where it hurts." "And where's that?" Artie asked, leaning against the desk. Luca smirked. "Their warehouse on the east side. It's where they're keeping their cash flow. We burn it to the ground." Artie frowned. "You sure about this? Vince isn't gonna like it." "Vince doesn't need to know," Luca replied. "Not until it's done." Reluctantly, Artie nodded. "Fine. But if this blows up, it's on you." Elliot's next move. Unaware that Ray had betrayed him, Elliot Gray was already planning his next score. He knew the Emerald Spire was under pressure from the FBI and the Morettis, and he saw it as the perfect opportunity to strike. "All we need is one big haul," Elliot told his small crew. "The casino's count room is tight, but the vault? That's where the real money is." One of his crew members, a wiry man named Darren, frowned. "You sure about this, boss?" "Marino's got some heavy hitters on his side," Elliot smirked. "Marino's too busy putting out fires. He won't even see us coming. The warehouse inferno." 2 nights later, Luca and his crew struck the Moretti's warehouse. Armed with gasoline and Molotov cocktails, they set the building ablaze, destroying millions of dollars worth of merchandise and cash. By the time the fire department arrived, the warehouse was nothing but smoldering rubble. Luca watched from a nearby alley, a satisfied grin on his face. "That'll teach them," he muttered to himself. But Luca's triumph was short-lived. The Moretti's were furious, and their retaliation would be swift and brutal. The FBI closes in. The warehouse fire was the final straw for the FBI. They'd been monitoring both the Moretti's and the Carlo family for months, and the escalating violence gave them the leverage they needed to act. Agents raided several properties connected to the Emerald Spire, seizing documents, and arresting low-level associates. Vince knew it was only a matter of time before the net tightened around him. "They're squeezing us," Maria Alvarez said during an emergency meeting. "If they find anything linking us to the skim, we're done. We clean house," Vince said firmly. "Get rid of anything incriminating. And find out how much they know." Sophia's ultimatum. That night, Sophia confronted Vince in his penthouse. "You can't keep going like this," she said, her voice pleading. "The FBI, the Moretus Luca, they're all closing in. You need to get out while you still can." "And do what?" Vince asked bitterly. "Run? Hide? That's not who I am." "It's not about who you are," Sophia said. "It's about survival. I don't want to lose you, Vince." For a moment, Vince softened, but his resolve quickly hardened. "I'm not leaving, Sophia. This is my city. My casino. I'm not giving it up." Sophia looked at him, her eyes filled with a mix of love and frustration. "Then promise me you'll be careful." Vince nodded, but deep down he knew there were no guarantees. The chapter's climax. As Vince worked late in his office, Artie burst in, his face pale. "We've got a problem," Artie said. "What now?" Vince asked, already exhausted. "Elliot's crew," Artie replied. "They're planning to hit the vault." Vince's eyes narrowed. "How do you know?" "Ray heard them talking before we grabbed him," Artie said. "They're moving tonight." Vince stood, his mind racing. "Get the security team. We're stopping this now." That night, Vince and his men lay in wait as Elliot's crew attempted to break into the vault. A violent shootout erupted, leaving two of Elliot's men dead and the rest in custody. Elliot himself managed to escape, but the message was clear. Vince Marino wasn't a man to be crossed. As Vince surveyed the aftermath, he couldn't help but feel a pang of unease. The battle was over, but the war was far from won. Chapter 6: The Power Struggle. The fallout from the vault. The aftermath of the attempted heist left the Emerald Spire reeling. Two dead men, one captured, and Elliot Gray still at large meant Vince Marino had more problems than solutions. The vault remained intact, but the breach was a glaring signal of vulnerability. "You let Elliot get away," Luca Rossetti said, pacing in Vince's office. His frustration was barely contained. "You think I didn't try to stop him?" Vince shot back, his voice icy. "This wasn't just about Elliot. This was about sending a message to anyone stupid enough to try the same thing." Artie Vance leaned against the wall, arms crossed. "We've got bigger issues. The cops are sniffing around now, and the feds are looking for any excuse to shut us down." "We shut this down first," Vince said. "Double the security on the vault, and make sure every goddamn employee knows that loyalty isn't optional." Luca smirked. "Fear works better than loyalty." Vince shot him a warning glance. "Fear's a short-term fix. Loyalty keeps the machine running." The bosses weigh in. The Carlo family wasn't pleased. Don Pietro Carlo himself called Vince to demand answers. "You're losing control of Silver Heights," the Don said, his voice gravelly over the phone. "You told me you could handle this, Vince. Now I hear about shootouts in the vault, the Moretus breathing down our necks, and the FBI raiding our businesses." "I'm handling it," Vince replied, his tone steady despite the growing knot in his stomach. "Are you?" the Don asked pointedly. "Because if you're not, I'll find someone who can." Vince clenched his jaw. "I'll get it under control. Trust me." "You've got one last chance," the Don said before hanging up. Sophia's growing role. Sophia LeClaire had been keeping her distance since the confrontation about Elliot, but she couldn't ignore the turmoil Vince was facing. One evening, she surprised him in his office, bringing a bottle of his favorite whiskey. "You look like you need this," she said, setting the bottle on his desk. Vince gave her a tired smile. "Thanks." Sophia sat across from him, studying his face. "You can't keep doing this, Vince. You're running yourself into the ground." "What choice do I have?" he asked, pouring a glass of whiskey. "Let me help you," Sophia said. Vince raised an eyebrow. "Help me how?" I've been around men like Elliot my whole life, Sophia said. I know how they think. If you let me, I can get close to him, figure out what he's planning next. Vince hesitated. The idea of Sophia putting herself in danger didn't sit well with him, but he also couldn't ignore the potential advantage. I'll think about it, he said finally. Luca's ambition. Unbeknownst to Vince, Luca was growing restless. He was tired of playing second fiddle and saw Vince's struggles as an opportunity to assert his own authority. This operation needs a real leader, Luca told his younger brother Dominic. Someone who's not afraid to get their hands dirty. And you think that's you? Dominic asked. Who else? Luca said with a grin. Vince is too soft. He's trying to play by the rules in a city that doesn't have any. Dominic nodded slowly. So what's the plan? Luca smirked. We wait for him to make a mistake. Then we take over. The Moretti's strike back. The Moretti family wasn't about to let the warehouse fire go unanswered. In a calculated move, they ambushed one of the Emerald Spire's delivery trucks, stealing its contents and killing the driver. This is war, Artie said during an emergency meeting with Vince. No, it's business, Vince replied. And if we let them bait us into a bloodbath, the feds will shut us all down. So what do we do? Maria Alvarez asked. We hit them where it hurts, Vince said. But not with bullets. With leverage. The power play. Vince's plan involved digging into the Moretti's operations, finding their weaknesses, and exploiting them. He called in a favor from an old contact, a private investigator named Frank DeLuca, who specialized in uncovering dirt on powerful people. Within days, Frank returned with gold. The Moretti's were laundering money through a chain of upscale restaurants, and one of their key accountants had a serious gambling addiction. We lean on the accountant, Vince said. If he folds, we'll have everything we need to bring their operation to its knees. Sophia's dangerous game. While Vince focused on the Moretti's, Sophia made her move. She reached out to Elliot, feigning regret for their last encounter. I need to see you, she said over the phone. Elliot hesitated. Why now? Because I made a mistake, Sophia said, her voice trembling just enough to sound convincing. I shouldn't have shut you out. Elliot agreed to meet her at a secluded bar on the edge of town. Sophia arrived dressed to kill, her charm dialed up to maximum. You look stunning, Elliot said as she slid into the booth across from him. Flattery won't get you anywhere, Sophia replied with a smirk. Over drinks, she worked to regain his trust, subtly probing for information about his plans. By the end of the night, she had what she needed. Elliot was planning another move against the Emerald Spire, this time targeting its high roller clientele. The chapter's climax. As Vince finalized his plans to neutralize the Moretti's, Artie burst into his office with a grim expression. We got a problem, Artie said. What now? Vince asked, already dreading the answer. It's Luca, Artie replied. He's been meeting with some of the guys behind your back. I think he's planning something. Vince's stomach sank. He'd always known Luca was a wild card. But the idea of outright betrayal was something he hadn't prepared for. Keep an eye on him, Vince said. And let me know if he makes another move. As Artie left, Vince poured himself another glass of whiskey, the weight of the situation pressing down on him. Between the Moretti's, the FBI, Elliot, and now Luca, the walls were closing in. But Vince Marino wasn't the type to go down without a fight. Chapter 7. The Breaking Point. Luca's defiance. Luca Rossetti's ambition was no longer a quiet whisper in back rooms. It was becoming a roar. He had gathered a faction of loyal men, promising them bigger payouts and a chance to dominate Silver Heights under his rule. We've been taking orders from Vince for too long, Luca told his younger brother Dominic and a handful of trusted crew members during a clandestine meeting. He's too cautious, too focused on keeping the bosses happy. But this city? It doesn't bow to caution. It bows to power. Dominic hesitated. What about the Carlo family? You think they'll let us run the Spire without their blessing? Luca smirked. By the time they find out, it'll be too late. The money will already be flowing, and they won't care who's in charge as long as they're getting their cut. The group exchanged uneasy glances before nodding in agreement. Luca's coup was set in motion. Sophia's intel. Sophia returned to Vince's penthouse late one evening, her demeanor tense but composed. "I met with Elliot," she said, sitting down across from him. Vince looked up from the stack of papers he'd been reviewing, his expression unreadable. "And?" "He's planning something big," Sophia said. "He's targeting the high rollers, plans to scam them and make it look like the casino's at fault." Vince leaned back, processing the information. "Did he say when?" "Not yet," Sophia replied. "But he's getting desperate. He knows you're onto him." Vince nodded, his mind already working on a plan. "Good work," he said, his tone softening. Sophia reached across the table, placing a hand on his. "Be careful, Vince. He's dangerous." "So am I," Vince replied, his voice steely. "The Moretti accountant." Frank DeLuca's investigation bore fruit sooner than Vince had expected. The Moretti's accountant, Victor Grimaldi, was deep in debt to several underground poker games, and Vince saw an opportunity. "Bring him in," Vince told Artie. Later that evening, Victor was escorted into Vince's office, visibly nervous. "Relax," Vince said, gesturing for him to sit. "We're just going to talk." Victor sat down, his hands trembling. "I don't know anything," he stammered. "See, I don't think that's true," Vince replied, leaning forward. "I think you know a lot about the Moretti's. Their money, their operations. And I think you've got a problem that I can help you with." Victor looked up, confused. "What do you mean?" "I mean your gambling debt," Vince said. "I know who you owe, and I can make it disappear. But you're going to give me something in return." Victor hesitated, then nodded. "What do you want?" "Everything," Vince said. "Every account, every shipment, every dirty deal the Moretti's have their hands in." Luca's first move. Luca's plan to undermine Vince began with a show of force. He orchestrated an attack on one of the Moretti's key establishments, a nightclub that served as a front for their drug operations. The raid was brutal, leaving several men dead and the club in ruins. When Vince heard about the attack, he was livid. "Luca!" Vince shouted as the enforcer strode into his office, looking pleased with himself. "What the hell did you do?" "What needed to be done?" Luca replied nonchalantly. "You went behind my back," Vince said, his voice low and dangerous. "Do you have any idea what you've just started?" Luca stepped closer, his grin fading. "I started what you were too afraid to. The Moretti's needed to be put in their place, and now they know who's really in charge." "You're out of control," Vince said, his fists clenching. "One more stunt like this, and you're done. Do you hear me?" Luca stared him down before turning and walking out. The tension between them had reached a boiling point. The FBI closes in. As if Vince didn't have enough problems, the FBI intensified their surveillance of the Emerald Spire. Agents began questioning employees and even detained Maria Alvarez for hours, hoping to pressure her into cooperating. "They're looking for any crack they can exploit," Maria said after her release. "They're asking about the skim about you, about the Carlo family." Vince's jaw tightened. "We stay clean. No mistakes. They can dig all they want, but they won't find anything that points back to us." But even as he said the words, Vince couldn't shake the feeling that the walls were closing in. Elliot's gambit. Elliot Gray made his move two nights later. Disguised as a high roller, he infiltrated a private poker game in one of the Emerald Spire's VIP rooms, planting doctored chips and marking the cards to ensure his victory. The scam was elaborate, but Vince had anticipated it. With Sophia's intel, he'd instructed the casino's security team to monitor the game closely. When Elliot tried to cash out his winnings, he was intercepted by Artie and a team of guards. "Going somewhere?" Artie asked, his voice dripping with menace. Elliot tried to play it cool. "Just collecting what's mine." Artie grabbed him by the collar. "Not tonight, you're not." Elliot was dragged into a back room, where Vince was waiting. "You've got guts, I'll give you that," Vince said as Elliot was shoved into a chair. "But you made a mistake coming back here." Elliot smirked, though his confidence was clearly fading. What are you going to do? Kill me? The feds would love that. Vince leaned in close. You're not worth the mess. But you are going to disappear. Tonight. If I see your face again, I won't be so generous. Elliot's smirk faltered, and he nodded reluctantly. The chapter's climax. The next morning, Vince received a call from Frank DeLuca. We've got everything we need, Frank said. The Morettis are wide open. Their accountant gave us the entire playbook. Vince smiled for the first time in days. Good work. Now let's use it. That same day, Luca made his boldest move yet. He called a meeting with several of Vince's top men, pitching himself as the new leader of the Emerald Spire. We need someone who's not afraid to fight, Luca said. Someone who can take this city by the throat and make it ours. But not everyone was convinced. Dominic, torn between loyalty to his brother and respect for Vince, remained silent. Unbeknownst to Luca, one of the men at the meeting reported the conversation directly to Vince. As the sun set over Silver Heights, Vince prepared for the inevitable confrontation with Luca. The breaking point had been reached, and there was no turning back. Chapter 8. Crossroads of Loyalty. The betrayal unfolds. The confrontation Vince Marino had been dreading was no longer a matter of if, but when. Luca Rossetti's rebellion was in full swing. His meeting with Vince's men to pitch himself as the new leader of the Emerald Spire had shaken the fragile hierarchy Vince had worked so hard to maintain. The informant's report landed like a bombshell. He's trying to turn the crew, Artie Vance said, pacing in Vince's office. Some of the guys are listening to him, Vince. They're tired of playing defense, while the Morettis and the feds keep coming at us. And Dominic? Vince asked, his voice calm but cold. Still on the fence, Artie replied. He hasn't committed to either side. Vince nodded, his mind racing. Luca's making his move. It's time we made ours. Testing loyalties. Vince called a meeting with the casino's top operators, Maria Alvarez, Artie, and a handful of trusted lieutenants. The atmosphere in the room was tense, every eye fixed on Vince as he outlined the plan. Luca wants to run this place, Vince said, his voice sharp and commanding. But he's reckless, and his stunts are putting all of us at risk. If he takes over, it won't be long before the feds or the Morettis shut us down for good. Maria, ever the pragmatist, nodded. And what's your plan to stop him? We send a message, Vince said. A clear one. But we do it smart. No bloodshed, unless there's no other choice. Artie frowned. You think Luca's just gonna step aside? No, Vince admitted. But we make it clear that anyone who sides with him is signing their own death warrant. The room fell silent. The stakes had never been higher, and everyone knew it. Sophia's warning. That evening, Vince returned to his penthouse, his mind heavy with the weight of the impending confrontation. He found Sophia waiting for him, a glass of wine in her hand. You look like you've seen a ghost, she said, studying his face. It's Luca, Vince said, pouring himself a drink. He's making his move. Sophia set her glass down, her expression serious. You've known this was coming. I hoped I could stop it before it got this far, Vince replied. But now it's too late. Sophia walked over to him, placing a hand on his shoulder. You need to be careful, Vince. Luca's dangerous, and if he feels cornered, he'll do whatever it takes to win. I know, Vince said quietly. That's what worries me. Luca's gambit. Meanwhile, Luca was finalizing his plans. He knew Vince would respond to his power play. But Luca had no intention of backing down. He rallied his crew, promising them riches and control over the Emerald Spire once Vince was out of the picture. We're taking the city, Luca said, his voice filled with conviction. No more waiting for Vince to make the right move. We make the move, and we take what's ours. Dominic, standing near the back of the room, watched his brother with a conflicted expression. He had always looked up to Luca, but Vince's leadership had brought stability and success to the casino. Choosing a side felt like choosing between family and loyalty. The showdown. Two nights later, Vince orchestrated a meeting with Luca, using Dominic as the go-between. The location was neutral, an empty warehouse on the outskirts of Silver Heights. Vince brought Artie and two other trusted men, while Luca arrived with Dominic and three of his loyalists. The air crackled with tension as the two groups faced each other. Vince stepped forward, his eyes locked on Luca. "You've got some balls, Luca," Vince said, his tone calm but menacing. "Going behind my back trying to turn my men?" "Your men?" Luca sneered. "They're tired of following a coward. They want a leader who's not afraid to take this city by the throat." "And you think that's you?" Vince asked, a faint smirk playing on his lips. "You're a thug, Luca. Always have been, always will be." Luca's eyes narrowed. "Say that again." "You're a thug," Vince repeated, his voice ice cold. "And you don't have what it takes to run this operation." For a moment, it seemed like Luca would lunge at Vince. But instead, he turned to Dominic. "What about you, Dom?" Luca asked. "You're my brother. You're with me, right?" Dominic hesitated, his gaze shifting between Luca and Vince. The silence was deafening. "I'm with Vince," Dominic said finally, his voice steady. Luca's expression hardened. "You're making a mistake, little brother." "No," Dominic said. "You are." The fight erupts. The confrontation exploded into violence when one of Luca's men reached for his gun. Artie was faster, drawing his weapon and firing a single shot that dropped the man instantly. Chaos erupted as both sides exchanged fire, the warehouse echoing with the sound of gunshots. Vince stayed low, using a stack of crates for cover. He spotted Luca moving toward him, gun in hand, and knew this was the moment it would all end. The two men locked eyes, and for a split second, time seemed to freeze. "This is your last chance, Luca," Vince shouted. "Walk away." "Never," Luca growled, raising his weapon. Before he could fire, Dominic tackled him from the side, knocking the gun out of his hand. The two brothers grappled on the floor, their shouts of rage and betrayal filling the air. The end of Luca. Artie and the others quickly subdued the remaining loyalists, leaving Vince free to approach Luca and Dominic. The fight between the brothers ended when Dominic, tears streaming down his face, pinned Luca to the ground. "Don't make me do this," Dominic pleaded. Luca stared up at him, defiance burning in his eyes. "You already chose, Dom. Just finish it." Vince stepped forward, his own gun drawn. He looked down at Luca, a mixture of anger and regret in his expression. "You brought this on yourself," Vince said quietly. With a single shot, it was over. Luca's body went limp, and Dominic staggered back, his face pale. Aftermath. The warehouse was silent as Vince and his men cleaned up the mess. Luca's loyalists who survived were given a choice: fall in line or leave the city for good. None dared to defy Vince after what they had just witnessed. As the group left the warehouse, Vince turned to Dominic. "You did the right thing." Dominic nodded, but his expression was haunted. "Doesn't feel like it." "It will," Vince said. "In time." But as they drove back to the Emerald Spire, Vince couldn't shake the feeling that the victory had come at a cost. The balance of power had been restored, but the scars left by Luca's betrayal would linger. Chapter 9. The Fallout. Restoring Order. The death of Luca Rossetti sent shockwaves through the Emerald Spire's ranks. Word spread quickly that Vince Marino had taken out the rogue enforcer, cementing his authority but leaving a bitter aftertaste of fear and uncertainty. The casino floor buzzed with rumors, but no one dared to speak Vince's name openly. His reputation as a man who wouldn't hesitate to make the hard decisions was now firmly etched into the fabric of Silver Heights. "We've got the men back in line," Artie Vance reported during a late-night meeting in Vince's office. "The ones who were leaning toward Luca are either gone or playing nice." "And Dominic?" Vince asked, pouring himself a drink. "Still shaken up," Artie replied. "He's keeping his head down, but he's loyal. You've got his respect." Vince nodded. "Good. We need him." Maria Alvarez chimed in from her seat by the desk. "What about the Morettis?" They've gone quiet since the warehouse fire. But that won't last. They're regrouping, Vince said. They know they can't hit us directly right now, but they'll find another way. We need to stay ahead of them. Sophia's dilemma. Sophia Leclerc had witnessed the fallout from the shadows. She'd heard about Luca's death and the chaos it caused, but she hadn't expected the toll it would take on Vince. You've changed, she said one night as they sat in his penthouse. Have eyes? Vince asked, swirling the whiskey in his glass. Sophia nodded. You're colder. Harder. Like you've built a wall around yourself. Vince sighed, leaning back in his chair. That's what it takes to survive in this world, Sophia. You build walls, or you get buried. But at what cost? She asked, her voice soft. Vince didn't answer, and the silence between them grew heavier. The FBI makes their move. The FBI wasn't sitting idle. Agent Michael Harper, the lead investigator on the Emerald Spire case, had been watching the casino closely. The recent violence only strengthened his resolve to bring Vince and the Carlo family to justice. We've got enough to lean on some of their mid-level guys, Harper told his team during a strategy meeting. If we can flip someone close to Marino, we can start unraveling this operation. Their first target was Maria Alvarez. As the casino's financial controller, she was privy to the inner workings of the skim and had a spotless record, making her both a valuable asset and a potential weak link. Maria received a subpoena to appear before a grand jury, sending shockwaves through Vince's inner circle. What do they want with me? Maria asked during an emergency meeting. They want you to flip, Vince said, his expression grim. They think you'll crack under pressure. Maria's jaw tightened. I won't. You'd better not, Artie said, his tone warning. Vince raised a hand to silence him. Maria's loyal. But we can't take chances. Maria, we'll get you a lawyer, one of the best. You're not going into this alone. The Moretti's counterplay. The Moretti family, meanwhile, had their own problems. Vince's calculated moves, combined with Luca's reckless attacks, had left their operations in disarray. But their leader, Salvatore Moretti, was a man who thrived on revenge. We've been too quiet for too long, Salvatore said during a meeting with his top men. Marino thinks he's won, but he's just given us the perfect opportunity to hit him where it hurts. Their plan was bold. Infiltrate the Emerald Spire's supply chain and plant evidence that would incriminate Vince in a major drug trafficking operation. If successful, it would not only disrupt the casino's operations, but also hand the FBI the ammunition they needed to take Vince down. A brewing storm. Artie was the first to catch wind of the Moretti scheme. They're trying to plant something in our shipments, he told Vince during a late-night phone call. What kind of something? Vince asked, his tone sharp. Drugs, Artie said. They're setting you up to take the fall. Vince's mind raced. A bust like that would be catastrophic, not just for the casino, but for his entire operation. Shut it down, Vince said. Whatever it takes, we can't let them get away with this. Sophia's unexpected role. As Vince dealt with the Moretti scheme, Sophia found herself caught in another web. Elliot Gray, who had been lying low since his failed heist, reappeared with an offer she couldn't ignore. I've got information on the Moretti's, Elliot said when he approached her outside the casino. Sophia crossed her arms, glaring at him. Why would I trust you? Because I want the same thing you do, Elliot said. To protect Vince. The Moretti's are planning something big, and I can help you stop it. Sophia hesitated. She didn't trust Elliot, but if what he said was true, his information could be invaluable. What's the catch? She asked. No catch, Elliot said with a smirk. Just call it a favor. Sophia wasn't convinced, but she decided to hear him out. The chapter's climax. With Artie's intelligence and Sophia's newfound information, Vince moved quickly to intercept the Moretti's plan. The showdown took place at a warehouse on the edge of the city, where the Moretti's had stashed the drugs they planned to plant in the casino shipments. Vince and his men stormed the warehouse in the dead of night, catching the Moretti's crew off guard. The fight was brutal, but swift. By the end, Vince stood over the defeated crew, his message clear. The Emerald Spire was not to be trifled with. As the dust settled, Vince turned to Artie. Clean this up. I want every trace of this operation gone by morning. Artie nodded. You got it. But as Vince walked away, his phone buzzed with a message from Sophia. We need to talk. Now. Vince's stomach tightened. Whatever Sophia had to say, he knew it couldn't be good. Chapter 10, The Reckoning. Sophia's Revelation. Vince Marino entered his penthouse to find Sophia waiting for him. Her usually composed demeanor was replaced by a tension he hadn't seen before. What's so urgent? Vince asked, his voice tired but curious. Sophia took a deep breath and met his gaze. It's Elliot. He's been working with the Moretus, but he's offering to help us. He says he has information we can use. Vince's eyes narrowed. And you trust him? Of course not, Sophia replied quickly. But what he told me lines up with what Artie found. The Moretus are more desperate than we thought. They're trying to frame you for trafficking, but Elliot says there's more. What more? Vince pressed, stepping closer. Sophia hesitated, then said, Elliot claims the Moretus have someone on the inside. Someone close to you. The words hit Vince like a punch to the gut. His mind immediately raced through his inner circle. Could it be Maria? Artie? Even Dominic? You think he's lying? Vince asked, his voice low. Sophia shrugged. Maybe. But if he's not, you're in more danger than you realize. Unmasking the traitor. Vince wasted no time. He called Artie and Dominic to the penthouse that night, sharing what Sophia had revealed. We've got a rat, Vince said bluntly. Someone's feeding the Moretus information. Artie leaned forward, his expression grim. You think it's one of us? I don't want to believe it, Vince admitted. But we can't ignore the possibility. Dominic spoke up, his voice steady, but tinged with unease. You've got someone in mind, don't you? Vince hesitated. Maria's been under a lot of pressure. The feds leaned on her hard after the subpoena. It's possible she cracked. Artie frowned. Maria's loyal. She's been with us since the beginning. Loyalty doesn't mean anything when the feds are breathing down your neck, Vince said. We need to be sure. Testing allegiances. The following day, Vince set a trap. He called Maria to his office under the guise of discussing the upcoming audit, but carefully planted false information about a shipment moving through the Spire's loading docks that night. If there's a leak, this will flush it out, Vince told Artie after Maria left. Sure enough, that evening, Vince's men caught two of the Moretus associates snooping around the docks. When questioned, they admitted they'd been tipped off by Maria. Confronting Maria, Maria was brought to Vince's office, flanked by Artie and Dominic. Her usual calm facade was gone, replaced by visible fear. Why? Vince asked, his voice deadly calm. Maria's hands shook as she tried to speak. I didn't have a choice. The feds, they said they'd put my family in prison if I didn't cooperate. I only gave them small pieces, Vince. Nothing they could use to hurt you. And the Moretus? Vince pressed. Were you feeding them too? Maria's silence was answer enough. You betrayed me, Vince said, his voice filled with quiet fury. After everything I've done for you, I'm sorry, Maria whispered, tears streaming down her face. I never wanted to hurt you. Vince turned to Artie. Take her out of here. What do you want me to do with her? Artie asked. Vince didn't answer right away. Finally, he said, make sure she doesn't talk to anyone else. Artie nodded, escorting Maria out of the room. The Moretus strike again. While Vince dealt with Maria, the Moretus launched another attack, this time targeting the Spire's VIP clients. Several high rollers reported being approached by Moretti operatives offering protection against the chaos brewing in Silver Heights. They're trying to scare people away from the casino, Artie reported. If they succeed, the Spire's reputation will be shot. Vince slammed his fist on the desk. Enough. It's time to end this. A bold plan. Vince devised a risky plan to cripple the Moretus once and for all. Using the information Elliot had provided, Vince identified the Moretus' primary money laundering operation, a nightclub in the heart of Silver Heights. "We take it out," Vince said during a meeting with his closest allies. "We hit them where it hurts, and we send a message they can't ignore." Artie nodded. "And what about Elliot? You think he's legit?" "He's playing his own game," Vince admitted. "But as long as his goals align with ours, we'll use him." The nightclub raid. The raid on the Moretti nightclub was swift and brutal. Vince's men stormed the building in the dead of night, seizing cash, documents, and anything else of value. The Moretti's crew put up a fight, but they were no match for Vince's well-prepared team. By the time the dust settled, the nightclub was in ruins, and the Moretti's finances were in shambles. "Message delivered," Artie said as he surveyed the destruction. But Vince knew the war wasn't over yet. The chapter's climax. Back at the Emerald Spire, Vince received a call from Elliot. "You're welcome," Elliot said, his voice smug. "For what?" Vince asked. "For helping you take down the Moretti's," Elliot replied. "But don't forget, you still owe me." Vince's grip tightened on the phone. "I don't owe you anything, Elliot. Stay out of my way, or you'll regret it." Elliot laughed. "We'll see about that." As Vince hung up, he turned to Sophia, who had been listening nearby. "Elliot's going to be a problem," he said. Sophia nodded. "Then you'd better deal with him before he gets the chance." Vince stared out the window at the city below, his mind racing. The Moretti's were weakened, but the threats to his empire were far from over. And with Elliot still in play, the stakes had never been higher. Chapter 11. A Grave Betrayal. The Calm Before the Storm. The Emerald Spire seemed quieter than usual in the days following the nightclub raid. Vince Marino's decisive action had dealt a serious blow to the Moretti family's operations, and for the first time in weeks, the pressure seemed to ease. But Vince knew better than to let his guard down. "The Moretti's will retaliate," Vince said to Artie Vance during a strategy meeting. "It's just a matter of when and how." "They're bleeding," Artie replied. "If they want to come at us, they'll have to get desperate." "Desperate people make dangerous moves," Vince said. "Double the security. I don't want any surprises." Elliot's hidden agenda. Meanwhile, Elliot Gray was still circling like a vulture, looking for his next opportunity. He reached out to Sophia once again, this time with a cryptic warning. "You think Vince is safe now that he's dealt with the Moretti's?" Elliot asked over the phone. Sophia's voice was cold. "What are you getting at?" "There's someone else gunning for him," Elliot said. "Someone closer than he realizes." Sophia's heart sank. "If this is another one of your games, Elliot." "It's not," Elliot interrupted. "I'm trying to help you. But if Vince doesn't act fast, he won't see it coming." Sophia hung up, her mind racing. She needed to tell Vince, but she also knew he was stretched thin. The trap is set. Unbeknownst to Vince, the Moretti's had enlisted the help of a new player, Carlo the Wolf Benedetti, a ruthless freelance fixer known for dismantling criminal operations from the inside. Carlo's reputation was built on cunning and brutality, and he had one goal: to take down Vince Marino and deliver the Emerald Spire to the Moretti family. Carlo's plan was methodical. He began planting false evidence and spreading rumors among Vince's crew, sowing seeds of doubt and mistrust. By the time Vince caught wind of the scheme, the damage was already done. "We've got whispers of guys questioning your leadership," Artie said during a private meeting. "Who?" Vince demanded, his eyes narrowing. "Low-level guys mostly," Artie replied. "But it's spreading. If we don't squash it now, it could spiral out of control." Vince clenched his jaw. "Find out where it's coming from. And when you do, bring them to me." Sophia's desperate plea. That night, Sophia confronted Vince in his penthouse. "There's something you need to know," she said, her voice urgent. "What is it?" Vince asked, sensing her unease. "It's Elliot," Sophia said. "He called me. He says there's someone in your inner circle working against you." Vince raised an eyebrow. "And you believe him?" "I don't know," Sophia admitted. but he sounded serious. "Vince, you can't ignore this." Vince paced the room, his mind racing. If Elliot's telling the truth, we're already in trouble. But if he's lying, this could be another one of his games to throw us off balance. Sophia stepped closer, placing a hand on his arm. "Promise me you'll be careful." Vince nodded, though his thoughts were elsewhere. The wolf strikes. Carlo Benedetti made his first major move by exploiting the casino's financial systems. Using a mole within the accounting department, he rerouted a large portion of the Emerald Spire's funds to a dummy account, creating the illusion that Vince was skimming extra money for himself. When Maria Alvarez's replacement discovered the discrepancy, it was too late. The FBI was already on it. "They've issued a warrant," Artie said, bursting into Vince's office. "They're saying you've been laundering money." Vince's eyes darkened. "That's impossible. I don't touch the books directly." "Doesn't matter," Artie said. "They've got enough to make it stick unless we figure out who's behind this." The betrayal unveiled. Vince's paranoia deepened as the FBI's investigation escalated. He began scrutinizing everyone around him, including Dominic and even Artie. Late one night, Vince received a tip from one of his remaining loyalists. "You're not gonna like this," the man said, sliding a folder across Vince's desk. Inside were surveillance photos of Carlo Benedetti meeting with one of Vince's lieutenants, Frankie Costa, a man Vince had trusted for years. "That bastard," Vince muttered, slamming the folder shut. "What do we do?" Artie asked. "We bring him in," Vince said. "And we make him talk." The interrogation. Frankie Costa was dragged into the Emerald Spire's basement, flanked by two of Vince's enforcers. His face was pale, and his hands trembled as Vince stepped into the room. "Frankie," Vince said, his voice cold. "You've got one chance to tell me the truth. Are you working with the Morettis?" Frankie shook his head, his voice trembling. "No, boss. I swear I didn't." Vince raised a hand to silence him. "Don't lie to me." When Frankie hesitated, Artie stepped forward, cracking his knuckles. "Okay, okay," Frankie blurted out. "It was Benedetti. He promised me a cut if I helped him set you up. I didn't want to, but he said I didn't have a choice." Vince's eyes burned with fury. "Where is he?" "He's meeting with the Morettis tonight," Frankie said. "At their safe house." The chapter's climax. Vince wasted no time. He gathered his most loyal men and prepared for an all-out assault on the Morettis safe house. "We end this tonight," Vince said, loading a gun. Artie nodded. No loose ends. The raid was brutal and efficient. Vince and his men stormed the safe house, catching the Morettis and Carlo Benedetti off guard. Carlo tried to flee but was cornered by Vince in the back room. "You thought you could take me down?" Vince growled, leveling his gun at Carlo. Carlo smirked, even as he bled from a gunshot wound. "You think killing me will solve your problems? There's always another wolf, waiting to take my place." Vince pulled the trigger, without hesitation, ending Carlo's reign of terror. As the smoke cleared, Vince stood among the wreckage, his chest heaving. The Morettis were finished, and his empire was safe, for now. Chapter 12. Exile and Reflection. The dust settles. The Emerald Spire had survived the storm. Vince Marino stood victorious, but the cost of his triumph weighed heavily on him. The Moretti family was dismantled, their remnants scattered or imprisoned. Carlo Benedetti was dead, and the FBI's case against Vince had crumbled without the fabricated evidence to support it. But the victory felt hollow. Vince had lost people he once trusted and exposed cracks in the foundation of his empire. The paranoia, the betrayal, the violence, it had changed him in ways he hadn't yet fully understood. "What now?" Artie Vance asked as they stood in the casino's rooftop lounge, looking out over the city. "Now," Vince said, taking a long drag from his cigar. "Now, we rebuild." Quietly, Artie nodded. "And the Carlo family?" "They'll get their cut, same as always," Vince replied. "But from now on, we do things my way." Sophia's departure. Sophia Leclerc had been by Vince's side through it all. But even she couldn't ignore the toll his world had taken on both of them. One evening, as they sat together in his penthouse, she broached the subject she'd been avoiding. "I can't do this anymore, Vince," she said softly. Vince looked at her, his expression unreadable. "What do you mean?" "This life," Sophia said, gesturing around the room. "The danger, the lies, the blood, it's not who I am. I love you, but I can't stay." Vince's jaw tightened. He wanted to argue, to convince her to stay, but deep down he knew she was right. "Where will you go?" he asked. "Paris," Sophia said. "Start fresh. Away from all this." Vince nodded, his heart heavy. "If that's what you need, then go. But if you ever need anything, anything at all, you call me." Sophia leaned in and kissed him, her tears mingling with his. "Goodbye, Vince." And just like that, she was gone. A city without shadows. The changes Vince made to the Emerald Spire were swift and decisive. He streamlined the operations, tightened security, and distanced himself from the Carlo family's more reckless associates. The casino's profits soared, and its reputation as Silver Heights' crown jewel was restored. But Vince knew he couldn't stay. The spotlight on him was too bright, and his enemies too numerous. One evening, as he sat alone in his office, Vince made the decision to leave Silver Heights. He called Artie to break the news. "You're leaving?" Artie asked, stunned. "It's time," Vince said. "I've done everything I can here. The Spire doesn't need me anymore." "And where will you go?" Artie asked. Vince smiled faintly. "Somewhere quiet. Somewhere I can just be Vince Marino again. A quiet goodbye." Vince's departure was understated. No grand farewell, no public announcement. He left the Emerald Spire in Artie's capable hands, trusting his old friend to keep the operation running smoothly. As he drove out of the city under the cover of darkness, Vince couldn't help but feel a pang of sadness. Silver Heights had been his kingdom, but it had also been his prison. For the first time in years, he felt free. Reflection. Vince settled in a small coastal town far from the glittering lights of Silver Heights. He lived simply, spending his days fishing, reading, and occasionally placing bets on sports, a nod to the life he'd left behind. But the past was never far away. Late at night, as he stared out at the ocean, Vince would think about the choices he'd made, the people he'd lost, and the empire he'd built. He thought of Sophia, wondering if she'd found the peace she was searching for. He thought of Dominic, Artie, and even Luca, each of them a part of the story that had defined his life. And he thought of the Emerald Spire, the towering symbol of his success and his downfall. A final message. One day, Vince received a letter in the mail. It was postmarked from Paris and written in elegant handwriting he recognized instantly. "Vince, I hope this letter finds you well. Paris is everything I dreamed it would be, and yet I find myself missing you more than I expected. I hope you found the peace you were looking for. You deserve it. With love, always, Sophia." Vince folded the letter carefully and placed it in a drawer. For the first time in years, he allowed himself to smile. Epilogue. In Silver Heights, the Emerald Spire thrived under Artie's leadership. The Carlo family maintained their hold on the city. But Vince Marino's name became something of a legend, a cautionary tale and a symbol of what it meant to survive in a city that devoured the weak. For Vince, life moved on. The scars of his past remained, but they no longer defined him. He was finally free to live on his own terms, far from the shadows of Silver Heights. As he watched the sun set over the ocean, Vince raised a glass to the memories he carried, and to the future that still lay ahead. The end.